Welcome to the Atheist Experience. We are live. Today is Sunday, September 27, 2020. It's 4:30 p.m. Central here in Austin, Texas, located in the good old United States. I am your host, Matt Dillon. Joining me this week, my friend, Objectively Dan.
Hello, hello, everybody. How's it going?
For those who are not aware, and what's wrong with you, Objectively Dan hosts the Atheist Community of Austin's show, Truth Wanted, on Friday night, which I just suggested we should refer to as, like, Art Bell's show, but with if Art Bell were actually a skeptic. And then I realized how old that makes me sound.
Right.
And then Dan laughed at me. And then I said, maybe we could replace him for today, but it's just too late. So. Welcome.
Yeah.
How you doing?
I'm doing good. Yeah. I think that's a pretty good descriptor. It's a call-in show just like this one, except we do things a little bit differently. You know, we talk about conspiracies. We talk about just out there ideas and beliefs and stuff. And we have a lot of good fun. And I have different guest hosts every week as well. I just had Seth Andrews on 2 days ago. So you guys should check that out if you haven't already. But yeah, live on Friday, 7 p.m. Central. Right,
by the
here
way,
in Austin. Yeah.
Those guests of past episodes, which you can go back and watch at Truth Wanted, include John DeLancey, who played you on Star Trek. And
I've
been on Truth Wanted.
You've been on Truth Wanted. That's
some
true.
Some other people have been as well. Let me go through the regular announcements. First of all, thank you to everybody for tuning in. I hope you're all safe. Thanks for joining us again this week. Everybody, if you're in chat and watching us live, if you look directly up above there, there's this little donate now thing that says 100% of your donations go directly to the ACA. That's absolutely true. They take no cut. And every penny that you donate helps us to continue to produce this program, Talk Heathen, Truth Wanted, Secular Sexuality, crap, I'm forgetting, nonprofits, etc. This all goes to make sure that we can continue to produce content. And we're doing it all remotely, which means we're constantly making changes and upgrade and getting better. Matter of fact, we just ordered equipment like 5 minutes before we went live to help Dan out with something. You can donate there at that link. As in addition, if you're interested, you can get merchandise, which helps support us as well. You can go to bit.ly/AENmerch and find all that information there. In addition, you can become a member at the YouTube channel, or you can support us at Patreon, which is at patreon.com/theatheistexperience. And there are two new Facebook pages that we're trying to direct people to. One is the Atheist Experience fan group, which is facebook.com/groups. And I missed it, but it was up there. And the other one is the Atheist Experience private fan group. And probably the most important thing before Dan and I sit around and jibber jabber and take calls and interact with you guys. And we genuinely look forward to taking calls on a number of different subjects. Theists are always going to get a preference, but if you have something that's not necessarily theism, but would fit in with what Truth wanted. Were you abducted by aliens? Are you too pooped to party and stuff like that?
Right.
The key thing is there's a whole bunch of people who work relentlessly to make sure that this show and all of our other shows can go out. And that's the people that were just up there on the screen. The cat is in charge of all of us. Their Lord of Levels just makes sure that the cat is fed, because the cat has trained Lord of Levels thoroughly for that purpose. But we appreciate the call screeners. We appreciate everybody who's working behind the scenes to make the show happen. And we appreciate everybody who's tuning in. So Dan, before we dig in on calls and everything.
Yeah.
I didn't prime you for this. So I'm sorry, because I actually hate this question when I'm asked, what's your favorite call that's ever come into Truth Wanted?
My favorite call that's ever come into Truth Wanted. I mean, you know, we just get a variety of different kinds of calls. There's some that are pretty memorable because they're kind of out there, and there's some that I like because, oh, I feel like I genuinely like helped this person, you know, or me and my guests, we had a good conversation about it. We did have a call earlier this year of a guy who basically didn't believe that the coronavirus was a real thing. And that was pretty shocking. That one definitely sticks out in my mind. We've had a repeated call about someone who believes God is actually a snake, and like there's like linguistic evidence of that. That one's kind of interesting. I've talked to people about ghost stories, alien abductions, man. We did have one or two people who seriously believed in Bigfoot. We had that conversation. So like, it's just run the gamut, man. I mean, all kinds of stuff.
It is amazing. It's one of the reasons why, you know, I've been a big fan of this show since you first suggested, brought it out, is this notion that, you know, the Atheist Community of Austin produces a lot of content, and that the nature and substance of that content has changed over the years as people have come and gone, and our interests have changed. We're trying to produce content that addresses, you know, more than just, hey, let's fight about whether or not there's a God. And so we, you know, that's how you get to things like secular sexuality and parenting belief and other things where we're addressing, you know, all the things that people are concerned about, even if it doesn't get, you know, thousands of views. And so when I first saw what you were going to do with Truth Wanted, and I was like, yeah, this is not atheism so much as it is skepticism in action. It is street epistemology in action.
Yeah.
Instead of being on the street, you can call it maybe television epistemology.
Sure. I mean, and we do talk about atheism too, but you know, when I first became an atheist, or when I was kind of figuring that out for myself, the tools and the skills that I learned in skepticism were applied to a broad set of beliefs, not just my religious beliefs, right? I had to deconstruct a bunch of other stuff in my life. And I think that's true for most people who go on that experience as well. So like, yeah, we may have some more questions about the God stuff kind of figured out. We talk about that all the time, or you know, we've researched it and we have these great answers. But what about all this other stuff? What about like this health claim that I saw on Facebook, or, you know, these stories that have some legitimacy, or maybe some of these things that we kind of have an explanation for, but not quite. Maybe there's different experts that say different things. You know, like there's tons of stuff out there that you don't always get to on AXP because so many people are trying to argue, you know, how great slavery is, right? So, you know, that's why I thought, hey, maybe Truth Wanted would be a good avenue for that. So, you know,
it's good stuff. There's a bunch of calls waiting. I want to make sure we get to it. For the record, and I don't know, and I apologize if I'm putting Greg under pressure here, but if there happened to be like a big splash screen or a lower third, all to direct people to Truth Wanted, that would be awesome. But I can say that it airs Friday nights at 7 o'clock, and if I'm Twitch streaming and an ACA show comes on, if I happen to be Twitch streaming like on Thursday or Friday night and it's 7, I just turn my stream into a watch party. Like the games go away and I'm like, everybody go log in and check it out. So I don't know. What have you, do you know what you've got coming up this next week?
You know, we tend to try to keep guests a secret for the most part, unless for very particular circumstances, like usually because, you know, sometimes stuff happens and people, sure, you know, they can't meet those commitments. So I haven't gotten the clearance from our producer yet to actually say, the show, and I should have before we did that. Maybe he can message me and we'll say if we can, but I don't have any upcoming announcements. But other than, you can always look forward to new guests pretty much every single time. We're always getting new people on, so it's pretty fun.
So if I were to say that you were actually going to have Justin Bieber on as your guest co-host this Friday, I would not be truthful.
That would not be truthful. Okay. Yes, that would be lies.
Because I know you're a big fan, and I wanted to, you know, make sure I got that in there.
Right. It wouldn't be slander because it's not written, but it would be libel because you are saying it out loud. So that's how that works legally, I think.
All right, let's jump in and have some fun with some calls here. We have, if it's going, hey, Jake in California, you're on with Objectively Dan and Matt. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing pretty good. How are you guys doing today?
I'm all right. How can we help? Or maybe you can help us.
I'm a first time caller. I'm a real big fan of the show. I watch it almost every day before work and after. I just wanted to call and, you know, I mean, kind of toss my ideology around a little bit and see how you think about it and kind of reflect off each other a little bit.
All right.
And kind of just tell you my overall outlook on life, being a man of God and all. But I feel like, despite the fact that you are good people, you know, you seem to be open to conversation. That's why I called.
Hey, so, Jake.
Great conversation. So nice to meet y'all. Yeah.
Yeah, you too, Jake. Which God are we talking about, by the way?
The only God there is Jesus.
That's okay. You're going to say Jesus Christ. Thank you. I don't want to assume, and so yeah. I ask, and the second I hear the words "the only," I know that you're going to say Jesus Christ. I mean, that's just happens every single time. Nobody says the only God there is Vishnu. Because that doesn't work for Hinduism. So no. The only God there is Allah.
I thought Hinduism did only have one God, Allah. Or is that a different religion?
You kind of got garbled there. You mind repeating that?
Oh, I was saying I thought Hinduism did only have one God.
Nope. No? Well, it's complicated. You'd have to ask a Hindu, because different Hindus have different sects, just like Christianity has different sects and how they understand, you know, their religion. But it's kind of, it can be one and all the same, but also there can be different ones. It really just depends on the Hindu.
I see. Well, what's their main, isn't Allah their main God?
No.
So first of all, I thought you were going to come and tell us about your beliefs. Why would you ask us about Hinduism or anything? Ask a Hindu about their beliefs.
Ignorance.
I gotcha. Yeah. But to answer your question real quickly, no, Allah is what's typically used for Islam. It's not for Hindus, but yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, no. So I'm originally grew up with theists, actually. No, I'm sorry. Atheist parents. And I met my wife around the age of 19, and she converted me to Christian, actually Pentecostal. And, you know, ever since then, I've found that the devil's walking the earth, and he only has power through God. And so you, my friends, you need to accept Christ as your Lord and Savior to shield off that evil.
Okay, so if the devil only has power through God, then why is God being a prick and letting the devil run around and cause harm?
Well, see, the devil has power through God. God gave the devil the key.
So then God is the one who's responsible for the devil, and which means that God is the one directing evil, correct?
I suppose, but you got to have evil to have good.
Do you really? Do you have to have sickness to have health?
Yes.
You do, really?
I believe so.
So if I'm healthy, that means I'm not sick, right? And so if I never get sick again, do I stop being healthy?
I'm sorry, run the question by me one more time.
Well, if I'm healthy right now and I never get sick again and there's no more sickness in the world, am I not still healthy?
Yeah, you're sick.
I'm sick.
Yeah, that's all it will ever be.
You seem really confused, Jake. I'm gonna let Dan quiz you here on whatever it is you're trying to prove.
Well, I want to, okay, because you said the devil is walking the earth, right? So can you tell me exactly what does that mean to you?
That means the world right now is ruled by evil.
Okay. Overall. What does that mean? What do you mean it's ruled by evil?
Definition. That the Lord God is not in control completely right now. The devil is.
How do you know that?
And God, by definition, is the ultimate creator of his own being, which is man.
What led you to the conclusion that the devil was in control of everything, like the actual literal Christian devil?
That's in the Bible.
Okay.
The devil is
Why should Matt and I or anybody take what the Bible has to say to be true?
Because it's the word of God.
How do you know that?
It's.
You know, we were just talking about Hindus. We were just talking about people of other faiths, right? There's other people who have these books out there that say, oh, this is the truth and this is what people should believe. So why should we believe what your book has to say is true?
Well, I mean, it is the most popular book in the world.
No, does it's not.
But hey, yeah, even if that was true, right? Does something being popular mean that it's true?
I mean, because Harry Potter's pretty damn popular. Does that mean it's like running a second?
Hey, touche, maybe.
I no longer believe that you are serious.
Harry Potter kind of represents hell and all the devils and angels.
Yeah. Jake, we're going to move on.
I don't know about that.
Can I ask you one more question?
Nope.
Yeah. Yeah. That's just.
I was really hoping we were going to get somewhere with that, but if we're just going to do that, then we'll go on to Jose in Georgia. How you doing, Jose? You're on with Objectively Dan and Matt.
Hey, Matt. Hey, Dan. Well, Matt, I called about 2 weeks ago. I know you go through lots of different calls, but basically our call got a little bit hostile, I believe. I guess I came off kind of like an asshole. And
I might have come off as an asshole as well. That happens a lot. Let's just forget all that. Let's just forget all that. And today's a new day.
Okay. Let's go. Well, so it all started with me calling to say that, you know, I feel like when people start to talk about, you know, their experiences with the Holy Spirit and what they genuinely felt, I felt that you were very, you know, you seem to dismiss.
Yes.
You know, that.
It's really easy, Jose. If two people come to me and tell me that they've had experiences with the Holy Spirit, how do I tell which of them is correct?
I think you've been able to talk with people that have been genuine and you take them on their word. I mean, I understand that.
I just said, if two people come to me and tell me they've had contact with the Holy Spirit, how do I tell which one of them is correct?
I guess it would just be upon you to decide whether who you chose to believe.
But you don't choose what you believe. They have to present some case that is ultimately compelling.
You say you don't choose to believe, but Matt, that's not necessarily true.
It is necessarily true. I'm sorry that you don't believe it. I'd like to be able to convince you. Why don't you just choose to believe that I'm right when I say you can't choose to believe?
Why don't I just choose to see if you're right?
No, what I'm saying, you can't choose beliefs and you think you can. So I want you to choose to believe that you can't choose beliefs.
Again, do you understand, Matt, when you talk to somebody, it's like you're not talking like a normal person with somebody. Like, I understand you're a host. I understand you have all this knowledge. But when you come off like that, it's like you come off to trip somebody that isn't,
I asked a straightforward question. I asked a straightforward question. Two people come up and tell me that they experience the Holy Spirit. How do I tell which of them is correct?
According to you, you wouldn't know, right? According to you.
I'm asking you, would you stop trying to speak for me? This is why things got hostile. I'm asking a legitimate question. How do you tell whether or not something is true? And you have yet to come anywhere near an answer. You just keep accusing me of bad things in your mind. Would you answer the question?
Okay, if it was up to me, if two people came up to me and told me their stories as far as like they both experienced the Holy Spirit, and then I had to decide, well, it depends on the person, Matt. It depends on, you know, how that person is approaching me with what they have to say. I would take them on their word if they
genuinely. Okay, then I heard from the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit says you're wrong.
And that's what I'm talking about.
You going to take me at my word?
Well, obviously not you, because.
Oh, so like, I don't count. All right, well, then I'll let Dan ask you, because maybe Dan hasn't heard from the Holy Spirit. But if you're just going to say that depends on the person, and I'll probably just take them at the word, none of those things that you described are reliable paths to actually. Do you care whether or not you're correct, whether or not your beliefs are true?
Absolutely.
I don't think that's true, because if you care about whether or not your beliefs are true, then you want a method. If you care about whether your beliefs are true, then you want to find a method that will reliably tell you whether or not something is true. And just going with your gut and trusting a person based on your own intuitions is not a reliable path, because you can be fooled.
Paint me as a gullible person. I get how it works.
I'm not painting you as a gullible person. To whatever extent you're being painted as gullible, it's you doing it, saying that you're just going to take somebody at their word.
No, absolutely not. Because, Matt, before, when you believed, you felt you experienced the Holy Spirit. And if somebody had told you, correct, no, you're full of crap, you would have been.
That's not what I said. That's not what that's not remotely in the fucking ballpark of what I said. I didn't say you're full of crap. I said,
cuss at me.
I can cuss as much as I fucking want on my own fucking show. Do not tell me how to fucking speak ever fucking again, or I will fucking hang up on your fucking ass. Are we fucking clear?
Wow. I mean, really?
Yeah, really. I'm trying to have a decent conversation with you.
I'm at the mercy of your thumb from hanging up on me. I'm at the mercy. So do you see the disadvantages there? As far as
have I hung up on you yet, despite the fact that I would be justified in doing it? I keep asking straightforward questions and you keep deflecting. And now you're worried about what fucking language I use and telling me not to fucking curse. I asked how to tell the difference between two people who made a claim to figure out whether or not something's true. That's all I've asked this whole time.
No, I can't. I cannot distinguish whether somebody's telling the truth.
There you go.
If I understand how you break apart and tear apart what faith is. But Matt, you as an atheist now, I don't know if you ever truly have faith, but do you understand what the power is, how that allows somebody to
I'm sorry, you broke up there. Can you say that again? Do I understand what?
I said, do you understand what like the actual power of faith truly is? Now I believe you may not, unless like I mentioned before, where I got hung up on 2 weeks ago. What faith means to somebody.
I want you to tell me. So I understand that faith is important to you, but what do you mean by faith?
It's important to a lot more people.
I don't care if it's important. The fact that something's important to people doesn't tell you whether or not it's true. What do you mean by faith?
Okay, faith, as far as like, you don't necessarily have to know 100% whether it's true or not. You understand? I know you want to. I know you keep saying faith is not a legitimate pathway to truth. I understand every way that you've broken that down. But faith in something. How can you just close that door in our face and say no, you didn't experience this?
Jose, I'm going to stop talking right after I say this, and I'm just going to let you deal with Dan. I have never closed that door. You continually.
You did.
I'm going to hang up on you if you fucking interrupt me. You continually misrepresent my position. All I've done is ask how to tell whether or not something is true. I have not said that you're wrong. I have not said that your faith is wrong. I have not said that your position is wrong. I have asked you how to demonstrate it. And this is important because if you actually care about whether or not your beliefs are true, then you want to actually find out what methods most likely lead to truth. If you think that I have no objection to believing things without being certain, because I don't think we can be absolutely certain about anything. But belief in the absence of certainty, the type of faith that you're talking about, is not the problem. The problem is, what is the reason for the belief? And does it justify the belief? Because if you just go with it because it feels right, that's not a path to truth. And now,
Dan.
What were you going to say there, Jose? And I'll talk to you here.
I mean, as long as you don't cut at me, I guess that it would be
goodbye,
best.
Jackass. Oh, I'm sorry. You didn't tell me how to talk to you. You told Dan. So I'll let Dan decide whether or not.
Okay. I was like, ace the line. Were you going to hang up on him? What's up, Jose?
Hello?
I'll say this much, right? So I grew up, I grew up my teenage years around the Baptist church, right? And one thing that the Baptists like to talk about is they like to talk about Pentecostals. I don't know why they like to talk about other denominations. And a Baptist will be the first one to tell you that what the Pentecostals are doing, like, isn't legit, right? Like, these kind of speaking in tongues and these other experiences that they have, you know,
that's ridiculous. I mean, me and you can pretty much say that's crazy.
But Jose, millions of people believe that's true. Millions of people, Jose, right?
Okay, but so do you believe it? You believe it, though.
Jose, listen.
Would it be
are all those,
say that we
Jose,
that's ridiculous.
Don't, come on, listen. You think it's ridiculous, right? Matt and I might think whatever belief you have is ridiculous, too. You have to understand, it's a matter of perspective, okay? Like, yeah, the speaking in tongues stuff, we might be able to say that, but we didn't grow up that way. If you and I grew up that way, and everybody around us were having those experiences, we might be more inclined to believe it. Now, I grew up in a Baptist tradition, kind of Methodist-Baptist mix, and so I believe that a lot of the Methodist-Baptist theology and their practices were legit, too. Now, I don't think that, yeah, you know, I don't take much stock in it, but the reason why I don't, right, is because I, like Matt was saying, had to figure out reliable methods for figuring out what's true and what's not. And I'll tell you this much, the reasoning that Pentecostals use for their spiritual experiences is not much better than the reasoning that Baptists, Methodists, or any other Christian sects use to justify their experiences.
I understand that. And thank you for putting it in a way where you're not trying to make me sound like I'm an idiot. I appreciate that. But it comes down to what you
I have a question.
Based on
Jose, are you suggesting that I'm trying to make you look like an idiot?
If I answer, am I going to get hung up on by you, or is it still up to Dan?
It's up to Dan, but were you suggesting that I'm trying to make you look like an idiot?
Matt, why are you, how can you?
Are you going to answer my question? Are you suggesting that I'm trying to make you look like an idiot?
You take a very hostile line against
Jose. Are you suggesting that I'm trying to make you look like an idiot?
That's another question on here.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. I didn't realize that.
Are you suggesting? Were you suggesting that I am trying to make you look like an idiot?
It's more than a suggestion at this point, man. I think it's very obvious.
Okay. What did I do to make you look like an idiot?
Okay, so the difference in when I spoke with Dan is he put something out in front of me very, you know, he wasn't trying to spoon-feed me anything. He wasn't making it like...
What did I do, Jose, when you called? Didn't I just ask you a question about how to demonstrate the truth of something, which you avoided and then started making accusations about me?
No, it's not avoiding, Matt. It's that certain people do not talk the way you do as far as like a
then you shouldn't have fucking called this show, should you? Because if I'm going to ask questions about how you demonstrate the truth of your beliefs, don't suggest that my goal is to make you look like an idiot. My goal is to make you either demonstrate the truth of your proposition or realize that you've made a mistake.
It's not like a game of chess. That's how you're putting it down.
It absolutely is a game of chess. It is a game of chess. It is a game of logic. It is absolutely, if I ask you to demonstrate something, it's because you made a fucking claim, and it's important for us to figure out whether or not that claim's true, right?
Can I just, hello?
Are you going to answer my question?
I am. Yes, I understand that. I understand that completely.
So please explain what I did to make you to show that I want to make you look like an idiot. Because what I want is for you to realize that you're making yourself look like an idiot.
How? By explaining to you an honest, genuine feeling that me and a lot and millions of other people experience?
No, by refusing to answer the question about how to tell the difference between something.
I gave the team on their word as far as, you know,
it took quite a while to get you to say that you're going to take people on your word. Then I asked a question to demonstrate why taking someone at their word is not a good methodology. Do you think that taking people at their word is a good way to get to the truth?
It definitely has some value there as far as talking to somebody and judging their character. Would you not agree?
Taking someone at their word is not a reliable path to truth. Taking someone at their word is likely to result in you being conned, correct?
Not necessarily.
No.
Easily conned.
Stop. If you just run around merely taking people at their word, is it likely that you're going to be conned?
No, I don't believe so. And it has.
You are wrong. And that's why you wouldn't take me at my word. I tell you what, mail me $1,000 and I promise I'll mail you $10,000 back in a week. You take me at my word?
Oh my gosh.
You take me at my word?
Absolutely not.
Good. Then you just agreed with me that taking people at their word is not a reliable path to truth, which means there must be something else that you have to take into consideration, not just their word, right?
Right.
Okay, so what is the other thing? That's what I've been asking. What is the other thing that is not just their word that demonstrates you should accept their claim?
Okay, so fair enough. And I said faith, because whether you believe it or not, you know, I've had people explain to me certain things that they've experienced. I went on about my day, went to sleep, woke up, and you could. I just had like a sign. I'm not saying that I'm a prophet, but I'm not saying that crazy stuff. All I'm saying is, you know, you will have different little hints or clues to absolutely
believe. I'm asking what those. You know, you're just going with. You'll have little hints and clues. I just want to know what they are, because if we're going to have a methodology to figure out whether or not somebody's telling us the truth, it can't just be we take them at their word. And we need something a little more than hints or clues. That's all I've been asking the whole time is, how do we do this? And if your answer, Jose, is that you don't know, that's fine. But if we're going to have a conversation about how to tell whether something's true, that's important.
I don't know that.
It's hard to hear you, Jose. Can you repeat? Because you got garbled there a bit.
Yeah. I'm just saying it always goes like, I don't know. I mean, then when are you going to get to something that you do? I mean, how are we going to be able to, you know,
It's a good question, right? Like, how do we figure out when can we say that we know something for sure? Can we even say that we know something?
How do you know,
sure,
Dan? Right? Dan, how do you know then? How do you know anything, Dan?
How does he know what?
How do I know? Yeah, like what? How do I know I'm not a brain in a vat? Right? Like we can go that whole route.
Exactly.
I think
hard solaces, Dan. We don't know.
Sure, but would you agree though, Jose, that there are some methods that are better than others in figuring out whether something is true?
Of course there is. Sure. That's why I know. That's why I put one foot. When anybody puts their jeans on, you use one foot first and the other one.
Sure. So if we're talking about these personal experiences with the Holy Spirit, right? How can we be sure that we're using the best methods to know that the experiences that we have are
the best method? It's not about having a best method. You know what you feel and you know what it is.
But our feelings are unreliable, right? Our feelings don't always tell us true about reality,
they're
right?
They're unreliable, mm-hmm. right? When you don't know for sure, what you're experiencing.
Sure. I mean, like, I can freak myself out because I just watched a scary movie and I think somebody's at my door.
It's not the same,
right?
It's not the same thing.
Why is it not the same? What makes it different? Just tell me, what makes it different?
It's not the same thing.
I'm curious, what makes it different?
Are you afraid of Chucky, Dan? Dan, are you afraid of Chucky and a vampire coming through your in your room? And
I don't know what that has to do with anything, though.
It has a lot to do with it, because you're saying you want me. This is many years you've been to church. I've been to church.
Sorry, you broke up.
Yeah, you broke up.
Can you say that again? What are we afraid of?
I'm saying what I said was that when Matt was...
Sorry, you broke up again. We're having some connection issues. We can't really hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah. Try one more time.
Okay, one more time, and then I'll let you go, guys. Go. When I was saying that when Matt would go to church and he, you know, was a Baptist, and what he felt was true in his heart, he experienced something that you're telling me that now. Oh, how do you know that was what you felt? Of course, Matt, you felt it, and to an extent, that's where this conversation went spiral out of control last time, because I think you're in denialism.
Yeah, Jose, I'll tell you this. When I was in college, I had a very intimate, I would have used the language as spiritual experience with some Hare Krishnas. You know, they're Hindus, right? I grew up, again, as a Christian. But I had this meditation session with them. And by golly, I felt something in that. And, you know, up until that point, I would have used the Christian language to describe what that experience was. But I realized maybe people of other cultures, they can experience this thing, and they've just been using the language that they've been, you know, grown up understanding to describe it. And maybe it's something else. You know, at the time I thought maybe it's pointing to something more universal, right, to all humans. But as I kind of started to read more, I figured out, oh, wow, like brain science is actually telling us, well, we can actually activate some of these experiences on our own. Like sometimes we can have what we might call spiritual experiences, just doing completely secular activities, nothing religious about it. And so to me, that's why these experiences aren't very reliable methods to understanding anything. Because if I can incite that experience manually without having any special ritual, what does that tell me about reality? Does it tell me that there's something mystical or magical out there? Or does it tell me that I have a biological system that responds to certain stimuli? Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, I can get behind that.
And I have to chime in here for a second, because I'm not in denial. I fully acknowledge and have repeatedly acknowledged that I experienced things. It's just that when I was a believer, I attributed those things to the Holy Spirit like everybody else around me. And now I recognize that I never had good reason to believe that it was the Holy Spirit. Yeah. I don't deny the fact that there was some experience. The thing that I care about is, what was the actual source and cause of that experience? And there's no reason to think that it was a Holy Spirit when I can have those same experiences from art, from poetry, from drugs, from sex, from food.
It's not the same experience. You cannot mix it with drugs and
Jose, sex. No, stop telling me what my fucking experience was like. Yours may be different. I'm not talking about yours.
Hold on a second, Jose.
Am I talking about your experience or mine?
Fine. Hold a second. Hold on.
No, you hold a second and answer my question. Am I talking about my experience or yours?
Hello?
Am I talking about my experience or yours?
Okay, hold on a second.
No, answer my question or we're done. Am I talking about my experience or yours?
Your experience.
Thank you. And if I'm talking about my experience, you can't tell me anything about my experience, can you? Hello?
I guess the call just dropped there.
It didn't drop. It still shows up in Colin's studio. It shows him on the line.
Yeah, you're right. That's weird.
Jose, are you still there?
All right. Well.
Well, just in case he picks back up, I want to continue this, because you and I get it, and I'm desperately trying to make sure that Jose gets it. But it seems like every time I start to talk about my experience, Jose wants to tell me that I'm delusional, or that no, you know what you experienced.
Mm-hmm.
I don't. Yeah. And neither did you, and neither is anybody. I mean, I don't know what is the method to figure out whether or not I experienced something, or what it was, what the source was. Are you there, Jose?
Yeah. Did you put me on mute?
No. We were talking, and you've had connection issues. You're back. All I'm saying is, okay, I had an experience. I don't know what it was. You don't know what my experience was. So stop trying to tell me about my experience. If you want to tell me about your experience, that's fine.
No, but you're trying to stop me from telling Mike. You're trying.
No,
to
sir, I'm not.
Yes,
I don't know.
You are,
I don't,
Matt.
I'm not.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
Yes.
You are.
If you, I swear to God, you say that one more time, I'm hanging up on you. Everybody listening to this call, except for you, knows that I was not trying to stop you from telling your experience. I'm trying to stop you from telling me what you think my experience was. If you want to tell your experience, as I've said three times, you can.
No, I'm not saying that you were trying to stop me. I'm saying, when I tell you what I experienced, you're trying to alter it by saying, well, that's not a reliable way to tell if something really happened. So do you see you're muddying?
No, sir. You're confusing the fact that you had an experience.
Jose,
listen, you are confusing the fact that you had an experience with your explanation of what that experience was. I have not denied. You haven't told me. I haven't denied your experience, and I haven't told you you're wrong about your conclusion. All I did was ask you how to know that you're right. That was it.
I feel like there was a little bit more to that than just how.
Well, I don't give a fuck how you feel. Rewind the tape and listen to it, because that's not what happened. I don't know if you had anything else for Dan.
it was mostly with you, but I mean, there's no talking to you. You get hostile with somebody that's trying.
I'm not getting hostile. I'm just not letting you tell me what I think. And I'm not letting you avoid answering the question.
But that's what you're doing to me, Matt. What you're mad about me doing, you're doing it to me.
That sentence made no sense. What am I doing to you?
Okay, so if I told you that I experienced the Holy Spirit, would you believe me?
No, but I would believe that you experienced something and you are calling it the Holy Spirit. I want to know what. Please let me finish the sentence. Don't you dare interrupt me, because as soon as I start to get in there, you're going to say I'm being hostile, and I'm not. I'm asking. If you experienced something, whatever it was, and you attribute it to the Holy Spirit, my question is, what is the justification for attributing it to the Holy Spirit?
Okay, my justification is knowing what I felt. That's my justification.
Okay. If somebody else has an experience that they feel and they know what they felt and they are convinced it's the Holy Spirit, are they correct?
Obviously, I have a bias towards yes. I would
okay.
Say I have felt that. So how can I deny them what they felt? If I felt the same thing.
You don't know what they felt. I had an experience that I thought was the Holy Spirit. Are you saying that I was correct?
Yes.
How would you know that? How would you possibly know that? Is it possible? This is easy. This will solve the whole thing, I promise. Is it possible for someone to think that they had an experience with the Holy Spirit and actually be wrong?
I wouldn't know that, Matt.
No. I'm asking if it's possible. This is important.
Okay. If it's possible, what?
Is it possible for someone to think that they had an experience with the Holy Spirit, but they are actually wrong?
Yes, anything's possible. I assume.
So now we're back to the very beginning of the call, where there are two people telling me they had an experience with the Holy Spirit. You have just acknowledged that it's possible that they could be wrong. How do I tell which one of them is right?
You wouldn't. You wouldn't be able to.
Okay. How can you tell?
I explained to you already. I will.
I'm sorry, what?
Like I have said for the third time, I don't know either.
Then why are we talking?
Okay, so this is for Thea to call in, correct?
Yes, to explain why they believe something. But hang on.
I think
you are telling me that you don't have a why.
I do. Absolutely. I told you through my experience that I felt the Holy Spirit, and so have many millions of people.
So I think Matt's point is, right, if you can't tell between two other people telling you through their experience whether or not, you know, they actually experienced what they said they did, or at least their explanation is true for their experience, then how can we, Matt and I, tell from you that what you're telling us is true, if that possibility is still there, that, you know, it may not be true? Does that make sense?
I understand.
Yeah.
I understand. Well, thank you guys. And I'm glad I didn't get hung up, but I mean, I don't want to start quoting Bible verses or quoting Bible this, Bible that, because I understand that. It's just,
yeah, the thing is, you had an experience, and you think you have a good reason to believe that that experience was the Holy Spirit. However,
absolutely,
the thing that you're describing as your good reason, you also acknowledge wouldn't be a good reason for anybody else. Like, it's not a good reason for me to believe you. And the thing is, I had that exact same reason that you did, and then I realized it wasn't a good reason at all, because you claim to believe that it's the Holy Spirit because you know what you experienced.
Yeah, like, Jose,
you can't.
Yeah, I was going to say, you remember when I brought up the Pentecostals point, and immediately you were like, oh yeah, you know, that's total hooey, right? Like, none of that makes sense. But again, like, that's millions and millions of people's experiences, and that's how they explain it. And if you're so confident in being able to explain that offhand, you know, then who are we to, like, also do that for yourself, right? Like, I get it. It sounds dismissive. It sounds like we're not being open-minded, but that's genuinely how we feel about a lot of other people's experiences.
Yeah.
Just because, you know, we don't see the evidence for it either.
And nobody's trying to make you look like an idiot. The only thing we're ever trying to do is to get to the truth. But you came in especially guarded and especially defensive. And it's like, hey, how do I tell the difference between two competing claims?
Even Dan sees the point that I made, that you're very dismissive as far as when somebody wants to tell you that that's what they experience, Matt. So it's not just what I...
I'm not going to accept their experience. Yes, I'm going to dismiss their experience. I'm going to ask them,
what,
would you shut the fuck up and let me finish? I'm going to ask them why they believe something, and then either they're going to answer or they're not, and you were avoiding it.
It wasn't avoiding. It was, I understand your structure of getting to something, and it's very manipulative in a sense, because
you're full of shit. How dare you call me manipulative? Goodbye. You're done. Blocked, banned, no more calls. We just spent 45 minutes pretty much on one call. And the whole thing was, how do we demonstrate what's true? Now, granted, I've had evidently calls with him before, but to say that it's manipulative, just to ask, hey, how do you get to this? And let me go back and explain. I'm baffled.
Yeah, I guess it's just, it is kind of, I think when I was leaving my Christianity, the personal experience argument was really powerful for myself. I definitely had this idea of like the non-overlapping magisteria, you know, the difference between the realm of religion and the realm of science. And I think that's a fallacy a lot of people make. I certainly made that myself, that my experience was somehow outside the realm of scientific validity or scientific probing. But the truth is, you know, I'm a physical human being that lives on Earth just like anybody else. And I'm just as subject to the physical things around me as anybody else. And I can be deceived or manipulated or not even actively so, just passively tricked into thinking something is true when it's not. And we just have to have good ways of figuring out what's true and what isn't. And we may not be perfect all the time, but we can definitely suss out some explanations are better than others.
Yeah. And by the way, I don't consider that, if I used the term wasted a minute ago when I said, I thought I said we spent 45 minutes on a call. I don't consider it wasted at all. I think hopefully Jose got something out of it. We got something out of it, including, you know, bouncing stuff off each other so that I don't get excessively riled up or whatever, because all we're trying to do is get somebody to tell us why they believe. Because if you offer me nothing, why did you call? I mean, I have nothing to evaluate. Literally, Jose's thing, that entire call could have been summed up by him saying, hi, I believe that I've experienced the Holy Spirit. I think I have good reason for it, but I can't demonstrate that to anybody. Yeah, that 45-minute call that's done in 30 seconds or less.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I would have thought the same way a couple of years ago, you know, and I would have wondered how anybody would have convinced me. And then if I realize I can't convince anybody else, then it's kind of a mute point. Yeah.
The difference, though, is that when you were presented with questions, you actually considered them and evaluated. I mean, this is
eventually, but it wasn't at first.
No.
You know? Yeah.
But I've seen the video, and your conversation was significantly more honest and open and accepting from the get-go than Jose, I think Jose is just terrified of the possibility of finding out that maybe he doesn't have the good reason he thinks he does.
Maybe. I can't speak for Jose. Yeah. I don't know how he's feeling or whatever. But if you are still watching Jose, I hope you do consider, you know, what we're saying here. At least I hope we got a point across, and you know, we'll just go from there. See what works for you.
Yep. So let's try to get to some more calls here. We got Lauren in New York who wants to talk about astrology and a proof of God. How you doing, Lauren? You're on with Objectively Dan and Matt.
I'm doing good. Honestly, I didn't expect to get on.
We have a really weird echo with
that.
You.
Was like, it sounds like you're calling from a subway tunnel. What's up with that?
Swimming pool.
I live in New York City, and it's loud if I open the window. So I was trying not to get that echo. Is that better?
There you go.
That's great.
Yeah.
Okay. So I have two things. I wanted to talk about, you guys can pick either, but I think I have a potential logical proof for God. And I wanted to talk about an astrology video Matt did in the past, if that's okay.
Okay.
I guess I want to know your logical proof for God.
So I don't think I'm going to convince you, but I want to get your opinion because I respect both of your guys' intellect.
Okay.
My idea is that the one assumption I need is that the universe is a closed system, and that if the universe is a closed system, then consciousness would inherently extend to the universe itself, and that therefore conceptually would or could be considered a God.
All right. I have no idea what the last half of that sentence means.
So first of all, conceptions of God.
Hang on. If we're going to call something a logical proof of God, it would be nice if we could put it into a syllogistic form. And what we've got right now is premise one, the universe is a closed system. Premise two, consciousness would extend to the universe. Now, I have no idea how you justify that premise, but there's no way to get to a conclusion from those two premises because your major and minor premises are not connected properly.
Okay. This is actually why I wanted to talk to you about it, because I know it's incomplete and I'm hoping that you can like poke.
I think I know what you're saying enough to debunk it right away, which is this.
Okay.
let's say the universe is a closed system and it has existed for 5 seconds. Would consciousness exist, would extend to the universe at that point?
No, it would.
Okay. Now, what if the universe has existed for 1 million years, would consciousness extend to the universe at that point?
If something that was conscious came to be.
Oh, no. If something, so at some point, something consciousness begins to, something within the universe gets consciousness, right? So let's say last Tuesday, something became conscious for the first time. How long after that does that consciousness begin to, does it extend to the universe?
I'm not sure I understand the question. You mean like okay. Afterwards?
Does the mere fact that one thing, like let's say the first conscious being arises, does that mean that the universe itself is conscious at that moment, or does the beginning of that individual's consciousness extend to the universe over time?
I'd imagine immediately. Like
okay, then what you're doing there is the fallacy of composition, because you cannot extend the properties of the constituent parts to the whole. Because just in the same way that my fingernail is hard, that doesn't mean that my earlobe is hard. So you can't extend the property of a part of a thing to the whole. So what's the...
If it was a closed system, wouldn't it be part of the whole and it would inherently be the whole?
No, that's not what a closed system is. A closed system, you're talking about something with regard to, you know, entropy and laws of physics and stuff. Logic is not going to... It's still a fallacy of composition that you can't extend to the property of that, because also there's a rock in this universe, right? And that rock is not conscious, which means you would have to extend that property of the universe as well, right? And now you're in a conflict because the universe is both conscious and not conscious, just because parts of it are conscious and not conscious.
Does that mean we're not conscious?
No. I'm conscious, but the table that I'm tapping is not.
Wait. Okay. I don't know if I understand, if I'm being honest.
Okay, then let's just go on to the astrology thing.
Okay. So you did a video with Owen and Jimmy.
Yes.
So my whole thing was the two guys who were water signs, known for intuition, got their original guesses correct. And while most might not take that as evidence, I think that should be. That the most intuitive signs were able to guess it right off the bat.
How do you know those are the most intuitive signs?
Because that's what astrology says.
But if astrology says, that doesn't mean it's true, right?
So my whole thing about astrology is that I don't think the stars affect who we are, but I do.
Well, then you don't accept astrology. So why would it matter what star sign is intuitive?
I think it wouldn't be, because it's still a structural system to describe people's behavior and personality. So it's still, I mean, you could call it something else, but it's still a similar system.
Well, if it's astrology and it's based on the stars and you don't think the stars have that impact, then the characteristics of those star charts don't tie to the individual.
Not necessarily. So,
yes, well, necessarily. In the same way that the constituent parts of the universe do not extend to the universe, the fact that astrology says stars dictate our... Do you think that a pair of twins are going to live an identical life and have identical personalities?
There have been some case studies about it.
Oh my God. Yeah. Okay. What? Dan?
I don't know where to take this from here, to be honest with you.
I kind of got to the end, but I didn't want to drop it without you.
I guess when it comes to astrology, I think it's interesting. You know, I'm a Capricorn, so, you know, that's, people tend to not like those. I don't really know why, but like, I'm an
Aries, and we know that astrology is bullshit.
See, there you go.
When
you have different, you know, I don't know what the video is in particular you're talking about, but when you make Barnum statements, you know, which came from P.T. Barnum, you know, the guy that, you know, that the circus is named after, you know, you can make these statements to kind of fit. Yeah, you can make these statements fit a lot of different people for a lot of different circumstances and stuff. And so personality typing in general is always kind of sketch, you know, like when it comes to like explanations for exactly how it works, it just doesn't seem to make any sense. You know, I know that maybe your belief in astrology doesn't necessarily extend to the stars dictating people's lives, but that's what a broad majority of people who do practice astrology actually do believe, as Matt was saying. Like that's kind of part and parcel with the belief system. I don't know, every time they've done like broad studies and observing this stuff, it doesn't seem to hold true. At best, we have anecdote, you know?
Yeah. And you're talking about a study with three people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's study everybody who's supposed to be intuitive. And if we took everybody who's supposed to be a star sign that's intuitive, what do you think the likelihood is that they would all get it right?
It depends, because I personally think intuition is a skill you can own, but those people inherently are close. Or it's like a talent for them.
Where do you think intuition comes from? I'm curious.
I'm not sure, honestly. I think maybe it's, I think at least part the unconscious mind doing calculations without you realizing it.
Could be.
One of my things is, well, yes, it's well, Barnum's statements are broad.
Uh-huh.
Everyone gets angry, but not everyone gets belligerent. A lot of people are hardworking, but not everyone will run themselves ragged, you know?
Mm-hmm.
One thing I'd like to ask you guys to do, you don't have to, but after you guys when you guys get a chance, look at your closest friend's star sign, and if they, and I'm going to guess that for Matt, they're going to be air and fire signs, and for Dan, they're going to be earth and other water signs.
Okay. Well, I
kind of would want to know.
I might be able to look at that, but you know, I want to go back to that point on intuition, because
so hang on. No. Let me just hit one thing. So for me, it's going to be air or fire signs, right?
Yes.
So air signs are Gemini, Libra, and Aquarius, right?
Yes.
And fire signs are Aries, Leo, and Sagittarius, right?
Yes.
So you're telling me that my best friend is likely to be one of six of 12 fucking star signs.
Yeah, that's
way
half.
To play the odds.
Yeah,
that's a coin toss.
I mean,
it's literally a coin toss.
I'm sure it is, but at the same time,
nothing. It's a coin toss. If you can't get odds better than a coin toss, we definitely don't need to be spending time on it.
All right, I can understand that.
Yeah. One more thing I want to say on intuition. You know, people talk about people having these intuitions and stuff, and what I think people mean a lot of times when they say that is just the calculations of their life experience, you know, giving them the skills to do something. So like I play violin, for example. And if I hear a song on the radio that I know is in a key, I know my fingers can kind of know where to go because I have so much practice with it. I can intuitively do that, but that's not because there's something magical in me. That's because of my life experience and practice doing that. When a mother talks about their intuition, well, they've had experience being a mother for however many years, you know, so they know based on what their kid's going to do that they're going to respond in a certain way. So like intuition, I don't think it's magical, at least, you know, I don't see a reason to think it is for most cases. I think it's just a combination of life experiences that lead you to, you know, come to certain conclusions about things. I think that can be explained through, you know, physical means, not necessarily anything supernatural, right?
Yeah, I'm in agreement with Dan. If you think that there's something to intuition that's beyond just training your brain to make more reasonable inferences, you'd need to demonstrate it. Mm-hmm. But we've got a bunch of other callers that have been on hold, some of them for more than an hour. So I want to try and move on a bit.
Thank you for your time.
Yeah, thank you. Have a good one.
All right. Yeah, so that's the big thing is, you know, it's like, oh, I bet, you know, let me pick out six of the 12 star signs. And one of those is probably.
I'm glad you pointed that out. I'm glad you pointed that out because I don't know too much about the star signs, but
it happens a lot. It's, you know, it's one of those things where like, it's one of those things where you can make a statement that is true or likely true or feels true, but what are the actual odds? Lisa in Florida, how are you? You're on with Dan and Matt.
Hi, how are you?
Thanks for waiting so much. I appreciate it.
Oh, no problem. I was calling because I was curious how much the knowledge of all religions should be included when someone takes a stance on atheism. Similarly, you know, like somebody with a Christian background can be challenged by saying, well, what do you know about other religions? So I'm just curious from your perspective how that kind of comes together.
I guess I'll go first on this one. So like, that's an interesting question, because if I was to make the claim, for example, that, oh, I believe this God is the true God, then that's me saying all other claims are invalid, right? Like that's me just completely disputing the legitimacy of all other claims. If we're talking about Yahweh in particular, right? The Christian God, because that's one of the things that if you believe in, for most mainstream Christians, right?
you kind of have to take that as true before you can take anything else to be true. But typically, as atheists, and I don't speak for all atheists when I say this, because atheists identify their atheism in different ways, but you know, we're the ones kind of saying we're not making any particular claims about any gods, right? We're kind of holding back. We're a bit more skeptical about all the propositions. We hold the null proposition maybe to be true. We're not going to hold our belief in anything until we see evidence of it. So in that sense, I don't have to particularly know much about any religion in order to hold the stance that I do. If I was to be more knowledgeable about a particular religion and I found it to be true in some sense, then I might hold belief in it. But me not holding a belief in it now isn't contrary to that being true, right? It's just me saying, oh, I'm not sure about it yet. I don't know enough information. I can't say one way or another. Maybe, I don't know if you agree with that, Matt, but that's how I kind of phrase
that. If someone were saying, I am absolutely convinced there are no gods, then what the claim that they're essentially making would come with a burden of proof. And there are people who think they can meet that. Mm-hmm. And I may or may not be one of them, depending on definitions.
Yeah.
But it's the issue here is that that's not what we normally mean by saying I'm an atheist or I'm a non-believer. So there could be some God concept out there, which nobody on planet Earth knows, but it's a legit God concept. And I right. still don't know whether or not it's true. And so the time to believe something is after there's good reason for it. So I'm like Dan in the sense that I'm not convinced. I used to be convinced that Jesus was God. I'm not convinced of that anymore. I'm not convinced of Allah, Yeshua, Zeus, Thor, Odin, Xenu, you know, whatever. None of those do I find convincing. I've also not convinced of ones that I don't know about. And so that's all my position is until somebody demonstrates that there is a God, I don't believe it. Just like there could be a unicorn, a Loch Ness monster, or some other xenobiological weird right. thing that nobody's ever heard of, but I don't believe in it yet.
Yeah. Yeah. And I said the null proposition. It's okay. Actually null hypothesis.
Yeah.
I think I got that confused.
Yeah. And if somebody comes up to me and says, hey, do you believe in Fergalblurgle? I'm going to say no until they demonstrate what it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just curious. Both of you have a Christian background?
Yes.
Correct.
But Baptist, actually, and both
so
of us.
Would you... Okay, so, but would you both be able to say that you would be able to say that God you're not on board with? And then at that point, do you make the conscious effort to, like, make the progression to understand, well, is there another one in these other aspects? Or is it, I know that this one's not right, and so I don't know enough about the other ones to make a claim either way.
Great question. Matt, you want to go first?
So... I don't believe in any of them.
Yeah.
There are some of them that I think I can actively say those are simply not true. There's something about the quality or description of them that conflicts with other evidence that we have. But for most of them, it's like I just remain unconvinced. And when it comes to looking for others, yes, I looked into a lot of different religions. Have I looked into all of them? No, because quite frankly, I stopped realizing it would take me more than a lifetime to investigate every religion. And instead, I started looking at philosophy to figure out what kind of God might exist. And yeah. of the world's religions that I've been exposed to, I don't see any evidence that they even might exist. And I don't, you know, because I wanted to direct the search. And I joke that I started with Buddhism because I want, if this was going to take more than one lifetime, I wanted to find out how many lifetimes I was,
there you go.
Was going to have. But I mean, it's just a joke.
Yeah.
If there is a God and it expects me to know and understand it, it's got to kind of meet me partway. It can't just be, okay, I'm hiding. Now you go and investigate every claim about every God that's ever been done, and maybe you'll find me, because that's not a God I care to find.
Yeah. And for myself, Lisa, you know, if we're talking about the God of baptism, right? Yahweh, right? That particular construct, as most Christians define it, yeah, I think we can kind of say, it's not true. I think we can look at evidences to see where those ideas come from, as far as, again, that construct of God. And there may be other God constructs that, you know, I might be more hesitant to say are true or not. You know, if you're defining God as like the universe or something, you know, that gets a little more iffy with philosophy and stuff. But if we're saying, no, yeah, the God of the Bible, Yahweh, who did such and such in Israel and did this and that, yeah, I think we can more or less say that that particular conception isn't true, because we can demonstrate, no, this event actually didn't happen this way. If we're talking about where the Jewish people enslaved in Egypt, for example, you know, that's a historical event that happened. Like there's certain events that the Bible describes we could look at and also certain things that are described about God working in history that we could look at.
So would you say that in looking at that, it would be necessary for a Christian believer to be able to prove that no other gods are real or above Yahweh, right? Versus an atheist saying all gods are not real. Is that kind of where we're getting at?
No, I don't. Yeah, go ahead.
If somebody proves that a God is real, you don't have to disprove all the others. If you can demonstrate that what you believe is true, you don't have to disprove all the others unless they're also compatible with it. But atheists, by the way, aren't saying all gods are not real. We're saying we don't believe that any of the gods are real.
Until
somebody proves it. But it's more than just don't know. It's not just passive disbelief. I actively disbelieve. And it's primarily for me, the argument from divine hiddenness, which basically suggests that if in fact these gods that people were proposing were real, we would have undeniable, indisputable evidence that would warrant belief. And when I hear people tell me that they believe, I always ask why. And I have yet to get any answer to that why question that should be considered sufficient evidence. It would be like, the call earlier today where Jose's convinced because he knows what he experienced. Well, cool, but that doesn't help anybody else. And if you can't present a reasoned argument supported by some sort of evidence, not just empirical evidence, but any methodology you want to use that leads to reliable results, as per the debate that I had yesterday on epistemology, I'll believe it.
Yeah.
Okay. Just curious.
Sure. Cool. Appreciate the call.
Yeah, thank you, Lisa.
Stay safe. You're in Florida, where your governor just reopened everything, despite the fact that All right, I'm going to stay away from the Backstreet Boys reunion because I don't want us to get...
But you make a good point, though. You could prove that Yahweh is a thing, and that doesn't necessarily mean that other gods aren't,
Right.
And if you look at the history of the ancient Jewish people, I think they would say that, yeah, that's probably true, right? Like there's a lot of history evidence that does suggest that they were polytheistic in nature, and that it was only kind of in more recent times that monotheism became the trend. But it's interesting.
Yeah, exactly. It's undeniable that there was a point at which Judaism was polytheistic. I mean, you just can't get to some of the language and some of that without it.
Yeah.
Thou shalt have no other gods before me type of language.
Yeah, but tell that to a Christian today, and that's completely foreign.
Right.
It's just not a possibility in that worldview.
And then in addition to polytheistic notions, there's potentially henotheistic notion. Mm-hmm. And when you get to Catholicism, where you've got all these angels and demons and the saints and praying to Mary and all this other stuff, which, all right, now I'm putting my Baptist hat back on to say Catholics are a Mary-worshipping cult.
Yeah, exactly, right.
And they are. It's a bit of fun. Let's see. Here we go. Here's Jacob in California. You're on with Dan and Matt. How are you?
Cool. Doing good. How about you guys?
Doing all right.
Good.
Cool, man. Cool. Well, I'll just get right to it. I know that we've gone a long time on the show already, so thanks for taking the call. But so I had this theory that I've been working on, I will say with God's guidance. I know that's not a popular phrase around here. However, as I'm reading the Bible, and Matt, I will say one thing to you. You made a comment a long time ago, quite a few times. And when I was a Trinitarian still, it actually was one of the things that made me go like, wow, that's a really good point. I don't know how to get around that. You said God sacrificed himself to himself to appease himself. And that stuck with me. And I was like, man, that is a good point. I don't know how to get around that. So I came to the knowledge through the Bible, though, that I actually don't hold to the Trinitarian view anymore because I don't think it's coherent.
I'm curious. And I'll let your point just for clarity. Are you suggesting then that you think the Johannine comma is an interpolation, an addition?
Do I think that what is? I'm sorry.
The Johannine comma, the passage that was generally scholars think that this was edited to make an excuse for the Trinity and that the original versions don't include that passage. Just go on with your point. It's not going to be relevant today.
I would address it, whatever you were talking about. Yeah, I know there's one passage in 1 John that I do believe was added in later on, that there are three that bear record in heaven.
Right, and that's what I'm talking about.
Father. Yeah, yeah, okay, yes, I do believe that was added in later, yes.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, so anyway, my point, though, was just that as I've been studying the Torah, because I am a Torah observant Christian to the best of my ability, some things are applicable, some are not. That's just a theological fact of it. It's not cherry picking. However, I do think a lot of the laws in the Old Testament would fix or at least take a step towards fixing some of the societal problems we see today. And the one example I wanted to bring up, So the one example I wanted to bring up was fatherless households or single parent rates, how they have just absolutely skyrocketed in the last, 20, 30 years, depending on the statistics you go to, right? It was 20%.
Can I ask you, I know you've been thinking about this and you've been wanting to tell Matt, but can I ask you a quick question?
All good, man.
Do you think that all the laws in the Old Testament, all of those ideas, do you think they're all good for society today?
I don't think some are applicable today. So it's not even a matter of if I think they're good for society or not. I don't think some are applicable, but I think the ones that are, certainly would.
Okay, so
I'd be glad to address any of them that you guys want,
If some are applicable, right, and some aren't, then why not just base a society on what's applicable and just take that? Why do we have to include the entire Torah into our consideration? Why?
Well, I mean, you have to know it, because then you can say whether or not it's applicable or not. You see what I mean?
Do we have to know the Torah to know if it's applicable or not? Can we just look at the idea itself and say, hey, this is a good thing to implement into our society?
Okay, I think the slight disconnect here might be that I'm saying it's applicable based on theology, and you might be saying applicable based on like society. Is that correct? I don't want to put words.
Yeah, that's probably what it is. But like, do we need a theological explanation to know whether something is good for us or not?
I think it's the only way you can get a real understanding of what's in there, because if you have bad theology, you're going to come up with bad conclusions. I mean, there's denominations of Christianity that prove that, you know.
What if you have no theology? What if you're like us?
Yeah, if you have no theology, you can go back and actually look at like the dooms of the common law back in the colonial days, you know, of America, and you can see that they were actually word for word almost with the Ten Commandments. They didn't call them the Ten Commandments, though, but people did them and they applied them. And in some cases, I would argue that you had less of the crime and things like that we have today. I mean,
there were less people. So I have a weird question.
You could do per capita. You could do per capita, but go ahead. Yeah.
Well, no, because you can per capita still changes with regard to access and like. I couldn't hop a train at the found and to get away at the beginning of the founding of the country. Right. And I definitely couldn't hop a plane to another country. I could go hide out in the woods. But anyway, the question I had to ask is, let's say there's something in the Old Testament that you think is essential and beneficial in modern society. And let's just say for the sake of argument that I agree with you that this would be essential and beneficial to modern society. What is that? Does that tell us anything at all about whether or not the Bible is true or accurate? Does it tell us anything at all about whether or not there's a divine source for it? Because I've never claimed that the Bible doesn't have some good advice in it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, no, as far as does it prove the divine inspiration of it? I would say in and of itself, no, that fact does not prove the divine inspiration of it. I would go to other avenues. I would go to things that I've just seen absolutely get obliterated.
And honestly, I'm not interested,
but
I mean, there's a bunch of calls waiting and I'm not trying to be rude, but if the thing is, let's say you said something that you and I agree on, it's not going to prove that God is real. It's not going to prove the Bible's reliable. And if you say something that you and I don't agree on, then we have no way to move forward because you're basing this on your personal view of theology. And I don't share that. So the only way we can do this is there's a reason why the United States is a secular nation founded on a secular document is because religions can't agree. We need to have laws and policies that don't appeal to people's personal religious convictions.
Yeah, I could see that being a true point. I mean, I would just say that there doesn't seem to be off the top of my head any other holy book laid down that had laws that would still be applicable today that show such wisdom, you know, that comes from man, because man's views changed back then. Things that could still be applied today. I would say that in some way.
We're also talking about the book that advocated for stoning people, my man. I mean, what wisdom is that? What wisdom is there in stoning somebody to death for not following the laws?
Do you not believe in like capital punishment of any kind then? You're anti?
No, and I certainly don't believe in stoning somebody to death is the best way to do that capital punishment. What wisdom is there? Please tell me, where is the wisdom in that?
Well, and this is the part where I might get laughed off the show, and that's fine, but the wisdom in that was to show the severity of the crime. I mean, you might not agree to that or like that. But at the end of the day, that was the goal of the law, was to show the severity of the sin of the crime. And it was to rid the evil from among you, as the word says, right? So
that, yeah, like picking up sticks on Sunday or having an unruly child. Those are severe. Let's kill them.
Well, see, unruly child, Matt, that's a gross misrepresentation of what that means. And we can
okay.
If you want.
Picking up sticks.
Not sure let's say, now, I mean, let me just assume that you're correct and I'm grossly misrepresenting what it says. I'm literally using the language it says, but let's assume, hang on.
Yep.
Jesus, I'm trying to give you every benefit of the doubt. You can't even let me finish the sentence. Let's assume that you are correct and I am grossly misrepresenting it. And I have a child.
Uh-huh.
Who is essentially a drug dealing gang member who will not listen to me and keeps violating the law. Should we kill him?
I mean, in those times, yeah, that would have been the procedure. Yeah.
No, I'm saying, should we kill him now?
No, I think that's one of those.
Why was it right then and not right now?
It's something that changed. It was right then because that's what God commanded, and it changed.
Yeah.
Because we are told to deal with certain things like that differently now based on.
Okay, how about this? Dip the live bird in the blood of the dead one. No, I'm sorry. That's the wrong thing. Where is that? I'm trying to find the verse of, you know what I'm talking about, Matt. I mean, using bird blood for ceremonies and sacrifices. I mean, not
cure for leprosy.
Cure for leprosy. Thank you. That's what I was trying to, you know, do we want to use bird's blood in curing leprosy?
Cure for leprosy. No, that's not a cure for leprosy. The Levites were also the doctors of that time. And so you were paying them with the bird. They were eating the meat, and that was their payment in order to be the constant priests and doctors of the time. That literally is how that should be, you know, maybe not translated, but that is the understanding that needs to be had when you're talking about that. It wasn't using blood to cure leprosy.
Why are we using that? Why is blood, bird's blood, need to be involved in the process? How is that helping the
because
situation?
The Levites?
Yes.
It was just the payment. Yeah, it was just
No.
The bird, it's body, so here we, just the payment so, and the blood as a result.
So Leviticus 14 is where this is coming from.
Yeah, thank you.
And the priest shall order that one of the birds be killed over fresh water in a clay pot. He's then to take the live bird, dip it together with the cedar wood, the scarlet yarn, and the hyssop into the blood of the bird that was killed over the fresh water. Seven times shall he sprinkle the one to be cleansed of the defiling disease and then pronounce them clean. That's not a payment. It's blood magic, and it's right there in your book.
That's a payment. Okay, so that is one that I wasn't thinking of when you said that. So in that aspect, there's an argument to be made that hyssop and the scarlet and things of that nature actually had healing properties, and it was a healing thing. It wasn't magic. So
basically, you're opposed to blood magic. You're opposed to this notion of blood magic until all of a sudden you're cornered into what it actually says, and now you think that this blood magic used to work. But so if I followed this procedure now, does it not work anymore? And by the way, what kind of cleansings does it do?
I don't know. You would have to see the healing properties of hyssop and all those things, you know, mixed together. Maybe there is some way where it actually has a natural.
Are you really giving this the benefit of the doubt because it's in your own book? If you read this in another book, would you really give it this benefit of the doubt?
I mean,
really?
You know, at the end of the day, I didn't believe it at first when I first read it. But after coming to the conviction that it was true, I started to realize that it is true. And there's lots of scholars that.
Well, Jacob, I'll tell you what. Go to a scientist or go to your local university professor and go ahead and try this. And we can see if this works or not, because quite frankly, what are we doing? You know,
if you're going to sit here and make a case for blood magic and Old Testament stuff, it's not going to get us anywhere because in the thousands of years since this was written, or hundreds of years since it was written, depending on which version you're going to read, surely somebody who gave a damn could test and show that this blood magic is real. Now, in Leviticus 14, before anybody emails in about it, this is not the one that is necessarily the blood magic part doesn't necessarily cure the disease. It can make one ceremonially clean. And that's why I call it blood magic, because the person must wash their clothes, shave their hair, bathe with this water, and then they're ceremonially clean, and then they come into the camp. But this notion.
Yeah, I wouldn't even put that into it. I wouldn't hold you to that because I don't know that it says ceremonially clean. So if someone will, that's fine.
I just read it.
You were fair, but I wouldn't. Yeah,
I literally just read it.
Yeah, but I'm saying it could also have healing properties.
Well, you don't know that it could. You do not know that it could. You do not know that it could also have healing properties. You're just trying to say, hey, you haven't proved that it doesn't yet.
Well, isn't that true, though?
Yes, it's true. Does it matter? Does it matter whether or not I've disproved it? The time to believe it is after it's been proven. Why has nobody in the entire history of the world demonstrated the truth of this thing in the Bible that makes you guys look like you're nuts?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, at the end of the day,
why haven't you done it?
The theological discussion, I was saying.
No, it's not a theological discussion. It's straight up science. Why haven't you done it?
If I'm not going to be allowed to finish, I mean, that's okay. It's your show. But I mean, what I'm saying is it's part of the theological discussion because the Levitical priesthood.
It's not a theological discussion.
And so, well, it is, though.
It's not. I don't care how many times you say it. It's a science-based thing. Either this process is effective for cleansing a disease or it's not. It's not a theological discussion.
Oh, on that aspect, I see what you're saying. Okay.
Yes.
On that aspect, I don't know why someone hasn't done it. Yeah. I don't know.
Jacob, why haven't you? Is it because you don't care about the truth?
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks.
Right. No, it's not because I don't
care. I got to move on. We're about out of time. Yeah. I want to try and get to another call.
Just one more thing to say on that. You know, the thing is, if we keep trying to justify these older books and say, look how great some of this wisdom is, look how great, it, you know, all this stuff is, look how true this was, we are also importing the prejudices and the awful things that come with it. Like that's a package deal. It's the reason why my gay friends couldn't adopt somebody if they wanted to, because you know, they're getting denied services because of some law. It's the same reason why my trans friends get the prejudices that they face, because there's a thing in there saying that a man can't dress as a woman, and they'll call them men, and they'll say all these awful, awful things that aren't true. And it's just, we don't have to justify it. We can just get rid of it.
Yeah.
You know,
it's funny because if I recall correctly, that call started out with him saying, this isn't cherry picking. And yet it is.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's, I don't know. It's bad. It just don't deal with it. We can make a secular society with all the good stuff without all the bad stuff. You don't have to take it as a package deal.
Are you ready, Dan? Because in 15 years of hosting this show, I'm glad you're here today, because this is the call that I've been waiting for 15 years.
Oh, boy.
Joe in Illinois, you are on with Objectively Dan and Matt. And it says here that you can prove that the inspired word of God comes through you. So bring it on.
Okay. First, I have to give you a little bit of background.
No, you don't. We're about out of time.
Okay. Well, I had found a lump on my right testicle, and I've always been an atheist my whole life. Let me start off with that. And now I've recently become a theist because even I decided, you know what, I was like, I don't know if I'm going to die from this or whatnot. So I went to church, and just for the heck of it, poops and giggles, I guess you can say. And well, they said, you know, well, why don't you pray to God just in case there's a God? So of course, me being an ex-atheist, I said, well, why don't you hang garlic over your door in case there's a Dracula? And they didn't like that and kicked me out of the church for saying such a comment. But they said that they would pray for me. So they started praying for me. And the very next day, I had woke up. Supposedly, they had all prayed for me that day. And I was like, how am I going to get rid of this cancerous tumor on my right testicle?
Whoa, 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 whoa. I have questions.
Okay.
So when you started by telling us that you had a lump on your testicle, you didn't say it was cancerous. How did you know it was cancerous?
Well, to be quite frank with you, I can't tell. I don't know.
Okay.
For sure.
So let's not call it something that we don't know what it is. So I'm correct in saying that you had a lump on your testicles. A bunch of people prayed for you. Are you getting ready to tell me that
on my testicles, on my right testicle,
on your right testicle, a bunch of people prayed for you. Am I right in that you're getting ready to say that you woke up the next morning and the lump was gone?
No.
Oh,
that's what I'm saying.
Cool. What happened?
I have a little bit of experience with hobby and stuff like that. So I went to Hobby Lobby. Now they have all kinds of small things, and like you could buy little razors that actually look like scalpels and stuff like that. And I had had, cause I had met like a couple of years ago, man, he was an Asian guy. He worked, did hospital supplies and stuff. So he had given me stitches many years ago, because I would do a lot of work on
Joe,
the hobbies and
fiction. Joe,
what
You have wandered way far afield. I apologize because it happened after I interrupted you. You had a lump on your right testicle. Some people you made fun of in a church kicked you out. They prayed for you and you said, and the next day, what follows that?
Okay. So the next day I had woken up and I had got the premonition to go get a scalpel type razor blade and things. And I had, and another thing why I become a theist, because I used to think masturbation and my masturbatory sessions were okay.
But I found they are okay. But Joe, how does any of this prove that God comes through you? The inspired word of God comes through you?
Almost there. Now, so I had cut my scrotum with this razor blade and actually clipped.
I don't believe this story, and I don't believe you're getting to a point.
Oh, Matt, I love your show, so hold on.
No, I don't love your call. Sorry, Dan.
Okay.
I thought we were finally going to get evidence of God.
Well, that's all right. There's always another day.
Well, we may be able to do one last thing because I have on the phone somebody else who's named Dan.
Yes, I see that one too. Can we do that one?
Who claims to have found multiple pieces of evidence for the devil. So
yes.
Since we couldn't get a proof of God, Dan, bring on the proof of the devil.
Oh, Christ almighty. Am I online?
You sure are.
And we're already over the time limit for the show. We are extending it just so you can try and prove the devil. Please do not disappoint and do not waste time.
Mm-hmm. And don't say it's Matt. Don't say it's Matt, because that joke's already been made by me.
Listen, Matt, I lied. I lied, and I will face my God.
Goodbye.
All righty.
I appreciate your honesty after your dishonesty.
Yeah, don't lie to try to get on the show, please. It's not good.
Let's try and do this real quick here. I'm assuming you're not in a hurry, but we have Enoch from Pennsylvania on with Dan and Matt. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm so glad to speak with you guys. Sorry we're over time. Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah, it says here that your question is, why do we want to convince people that they're wrong?
Yeah, so basically, like a lot of theists and Christians or other religious people get their hope, their meaning in life from what they believe. So it's like, even if they're wrong, that's where they find their happiness, their joy. Why would you want to take that away from people?
So first of all, I'm not trying to take anything away. I'm trying to have a conversation about the truth. But if somebody gets their hope from something that isn't true, isn't that by definition false hope?
Yes. But
if somebody really likes their lucky rabbit foot and starts making decisions about their lucky rabbit's foot, including how to invest money, wouldn't you want to try to convince them that maybe they don't have a good reason to trust their magic foot, or just want to let people be happy in their ignorance, even if it's dangerous?
Well, if the lucky rabbit's foot was going to benefit them or make them make wise decisions, even though their premise or their hope in this rabbit's foot is false, then...
If the hope in the rabbit's foot is false, then the rabbit's foot can't do that, can it?
No, not in and of itself, but like...
Correct. So whatever it is that is actually benefiting them isn't the rabbit's foot, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And so if their belief in the rabbit's foot could also harm them and others, then we don't just get to dismiss that harm.
Right.
So if somebody has a belief in a God, and because of that belief in a God, let's say they think that homosexuality is immoral, mm-hmm. and that people who love each other who are of the same gender should not be allowed to couple,
yeah.
and then they vote based on that,
or
harm to other people.
Here, even worse, right? They think, oh, conversion therapy is a real thing that works, and we should try that on that person. You know, like, not only is that not true, but that can bring active harm.
Does it matter what's true, Enoch? Does the truth matter?
The truth does matter. Yeah, absolutely.
And if somebody's pointing out, hey, do you have a good reason for that to think that's true? And all of the reasons they present are bad, simply getting them to acknowledge that isn't a problem. It's not my fault that they were convinced of something bad. And by the way, just because I talk to somebody and tell them that I don't accept what they say or point out logical fallacies, I'm not the one taking their belief away. I'm trying to get them to give their belief up for good reasons, because I want people to believe things for good reasons. I want people to have as many true beliefs and as few false beliefs as possible.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Yep. That's the reason why. Thanks for the call.
There you go. Yeah. There's somebody in this country right now who is trying to heal their cancer by just eating blueberries. Like, I guarantee you there's somebody out there that's doing that. You know, like I don't want that for them. I would want to show them better ways and to figure out how to deal and manage with that.
And sometimes it's a matter of giving people information. Sometimes it's a matter of, you know, even just bringing it up in conversation, or just saying that belief out loud for somebody and realizing, oh, wait, that doesn't sound right. You know? So you want to try to talk about it as much as you can.
I'm going to try and get to two more. If we have time, we're going to start with Jeremy. You're on with Objectively Dan and Matt.
I was hoping you guys would put me on today. They told me not to hang up. They'd tell me if the calls were not going to be answered. So I'm really happy to be on the show.
Now, we don't have a ton of time, and I apologize for that. But seeing how long you were on hold, I wanted to make sure we tried to get to you.
Thank you so much. I have a really good defense. A defensive style for defending theism. Mm-hmm. And I feel like you could throw any kind of question at me and I could defend theism.
Sure. What's the evidence? What is the evidence? What is the evidence that a God exists?
Okay. So, what I usually talk with people about, because I deal with a lot of, theists, and I think that they're kind of like led astray. So I think it's better to defend one true God than it is to defend, a God.
So why is it that you said I could throw any question at you and it wouldn't be a problem, and the first question I throw at you is immediately deflected?
Well, to say that a God exists, have you heard of the God of what is it, small spaces? It's kind of like a Neil deGrasse Tyson bit.
No.
It's the idea of a receding God, and I think that's what Yahweh means in the Bible. So basically, there are many gods in the Bible. There are like 10 names of God in the Bible, right?
Okay.
And each one has a very important meaning to society and to individuals. So like your first caller, there was someone who talked like 45 minutes on one point, and he, I think he would have really benefited from this knowledge that there are so many different definitions of God, and we just dismiss them all in our modern, you talked about it.
Yeah, it's almost as if God has existed in different constructs with different ideas over different periods of time. And is it coherent to everybody?
So often on the show I'll hear, you'll talk about how people, like you're talking about Leviticus and you say, well, that doesn't make any sense at all by modern standards. And people say, well, it changed. But what I think a better way to defend this point is that the authors have changed. The authors have changed over time. And we're totally disconnected.
Jeremy.
I don't even understand what those people were like.
Jeremy. Yes. Why is it that I asked for what is the evidence to demonstrate that God exists, and you have come nowhere near that?
Well, because when I'm talking about the God of small spaces, I think that's the God that we believe in. And I don't want to say that you're a theist, but when you say that you should wait for evidence,
we don't believe in a God.
Okay. God is a concept. So it's
stop, Jeremy. There are God concepts. Do you believe in an actual extant thinking agent entity God or merely a God concept?
As far as an extant entity thinking God, yeah, I would say like kind of God on high or like a Godhead within yourself, the Holy Spirit type of God. Yeah,
I don't know if that answered his question.
Why is it that you call in to say that you'd be so good at answering questions and yet you have not answered? So the God that you are wanting to argue for, is it a thinking agent that exists independent of us?
From a mathematical perspective,
your
evidence plus your reasoning equals zero. That's from math.
From a mathematical perspective. I love that. I'm gonna start saying that if I don't know the immediate answer or something.
Last call for the day. We've got Anthony with Dan and Matt, who wants to tell us about a God that existed in the past but doesn't today. So,
hey, how you doing?
Doing all right. From a mathematical perspective, I'm doing all right.
Hey, just real quick, big fan. It's a little hard to watch you guys sometimes, not because of you guys, but
imagine how it is to be us.
Actually, call on there. Yeah, exactly. The thing is God is nothing except the title. It's all it is. It's nothing more, nothing.
How do you know that?
You see it in the Old Testament. You got Jehovah, Yahweh, Elohim. These are just different people going under a title.
People now, like you?
Reason, yeah, exactly.
Well, no, because in the Bible, those proposed names are tied to things that people can't do.
Yeah.
Like
create the universe.
That's Yeah, but that's the thing. You know, it's us, not us, but the people then putting these ideas onto these other people. These other people say, hey, I did this.
Anthony?
And everybody's like, yay, look what he did. Yeah.
How do you prove that? You got a time machine?
Nope. That's my whole point is, you know, it doesn't matter.
It does matter. And don't call in saying that you want to prove a proposition and then tell me it doesn't matter, because we waited around and extended the show just for you and you wasted Dan's time. I don't care about my time. You're not going to waste Dan's time, because Dan is here. And by the way, we've already gotten rid of the caller. Dan is here. Sorry, Dan. They're getting ready to put up the thing because I want to make sure that we're promoting Truth Wanted. I want to thank everybody who watched today. Thank the crew who did all the actual work behind the scenes to try to make sure that we were ready and good to go. And I think that they're going to put up something here at the end of the show related to Truth Wanted.
Yeah, so hopefully they'll put up the graphic here in just a second. But that's my show, Truth Wanted. It's live Fridays at 7 p.m. Central Time from a mathematical perspective. And it's a call-in show just like this one. Like I said, we do talk about atheism, but we talk about conspiracies, aliens, just what people believe and why, you know, and the conversations they're in. This week, I actually did get cleared. So just to make sure, we're going to have Christy Powell. So if you're a fan of secular sexuality, there you go. There's another crossover happening. So they'll be my guests this week. And yeah, it's going to be fun. Always new guests all the time. And looking forward to having some pretty big guests up in the future as well. Maybe you've heard of this guy. I don't know, Matt. Jesus Christ.
Ooh, you heard of him? I've heard of Jesus. Yeah. I thought he was dead. What happened?
Well, so it turns out he isn't. He's making stuff on YouTube. He's got about 1.1 million subscribers.
What?
And he's going to be making an appearance on my show in October. So be looking forward to that.
I'm crazy jealous and a little irritated that all these years I've been hosting the Atheist Experience. And before that, I was a fundamentalist Christian, and I was praying desperately for Jesus to reveal himself to me, to help me out so that I could be a good representative for Jesus. And I never got any answer. I just left alone. And all these years just asking, I mean, you could have saved us a bunch of time today.
Could have saved us
if
a whole
you just
lot of
said,
time.
Jesus is going to be on my show.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. So, yeah, looking forward to that. Yeah, come check me out if you haven't already.
Outstanding. We appreciate everybody who donated today and who supports us through Patreon or membership. I greatly appreciate the people who are watching and most of your opinions. Some of your opinions, I'm not going to lie, I'm not as fond of, but that's fine. It's just we love doing this and having those conversations. And despite what some people might think, our goal here is not to make somebody look stupid or to ponzerize someone as if we're in a first-person shooter. And I don't view debates as if they're WWE events, and I don't prepare for the person. I prepare for the issues, which is why the questions that seem to irritate people the most when they call into the show is when I say, how can you actually demonstrate that? That has nothing to do with who you are or anything else. That's the way things work. If you're going to care about epistemology, if you're going to care about a way to find the truth, then you need to focus on that and not on the person. And there's videos upcoming where I'm going to address that as well, which is why I get so irritated when somebody says I'm intentionally manipulating them or I'm trying to make them look stupid. No, you do that all on your own by showing up to claim that you have evidence for something that you don't. And that's not your fault. You're not stupid. You're not having mental health issues. You are just like everybody else. Dan and I both believed this stuff for many years. Sincerely, we were not stupid. Our IQs didn't go up when we stopped believing. We just stopped accepting things on bad evidence and bad reasons. And if you show up any given week with an actual good reason, and by the way, divine revelation, not a good reason, because I can't share that with good reason, you can change both of our minds. And that happens here on Atheist Experience and on Truth Wanted. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Later. Later.